Hey folks, it's Audacity and Love and Life, and I'm your host, Sean Matos. I have been, hibernating. you know, like I said, healing process is a bitch, really. You know, and with that, like, I just want to be not talking all that much, really. And just kind of keeping things private and stuff like that. And, you know, just going through what I need to go through, you know. I wanted to touch on something which I think is perfect for... Debbie sent me a meme yesterday. And it's really, it says, I like to think I am only mean to people who deserve it. Kind of like a vigilante bitch, a bitchalante, if you will. So that's the new name of the Mean Girls, bitchalantes, because I like that better. And that's pretty much, look, I don't like to be mean to people, even if they do deserve it. But also, you know, when people cross your boundaries or whatever, or being revengeful or vindictive or whatever, then you have a right, obviously, to stand up for yourself, you know, to say what you feel, you know, because there are always going to be people that will tread all over your feelings, and then be angry at you because you decided to... you know, feed them the same things that they were dishing out. And yeah, and usually it's people that are trudging all over your feelings while you're trying not to hurt their feelings, you know. So yeah, I get it. And, you know, yeah, I like the new name, Bitchalantes. That's going to be your new name, Mean Girls, because there's already Mean Girls groups out there. So you guys need to be a little authentic. So yeah, Bitchalantes. It's got a good ring to it. And it's also correct. Like, you guys don't really, you're not mean to people that don't deserve it. You're mean to people that, you know, do deserve it. You know what I mean? I mean, 'cause they conjured up a bunch of shit that they shouldn't have fucking conjured up, you know? So, and you're just dishing it right fucking back to them, you know. So, Bitchalantes, I'm loving it. I got some, you know, it's weird how, you know, things come to you. People you run into, and, you know, what... the kind of clarity that you get from people out of the blue and stuff. So I was working in Hamilton yesterday, and some guy came in that's a regular at the bar, and was wearing the sweatshirt actually. And that's how I noticed him, for, you know, so, yeah, he gave me a lot of clarity as to, the view from the other side of the bar was, and, you know, without going into major detail, he said that, first of all, he thinks I was right, that the bartender was breadcrumbing me, and he says that's how those girls work. They do. They work that way, you know, behind a bar to make their tips. So, he says, but no, definitely there was something special between you guys. And people noticed, and, you know, I think you were right. I think that she did develop feelings for you that she wasn't expecting, and when, you know, such and such said something because, you know, you guys were caught flirting with each other with your eyes or whatever, and it wasn't like a... it wasn't a strange occurrence between you two, because we were all noticing that there was something developing between you guys that was just, you know, not just friendship or whatever, that she lit up when you came into the room, into the bar, and, you know, she really did, you know, look forward to seeing you, and there was a change in her personality and everything, and, you know, I'm not gonna lie, I think you guys were falling in love with each other, or fell in love with each other, whatever case may be. It wasn't a surprise to any of us that we were seeing what we were seeing. It was, you know, he said, I think it was, we didn't have a problem with it, you know, so, you know, I told him about her, asking for space. And he goes, yeah, that's probably because she couldn't deal with her feelings. And then, you know, her lying to her mother. And he goes, you know, she's basically sabotaged the situation because she can't deal with her feelings or couldn't, you know. And I'm sure she misses you. I'm sure she loves you and cares about you, even if she's not wanting people to know or whatever, but there's no denying what was going on between you guys. Rest assured that we were all picking up on it. But I said, well, thanks. I appreciate that, you know. And look, do I miss her and love her? Absolutely. I'm not going to deny. I don't give a shit what anybody thinks or feels, you know. I know I have to own my feelings and live my truth. So, yes. Do I love her? Yes. Do I miss her? Yes. You know, do I wish things were different? Yes. Do I wish you would apologize, really, for sabotaging what was beautiful between us? Yes. You know, and I would apologize because I said some ugly things on my podcast. I'm sure you know about it. He goes, yeah, you know. So, look, at the end of the day, you know, and then after that, I ran into somebody else that knows her much more personally. And does she have supposedly some kind of disability or something, or a mental health situation or whatever? And I was like, well, all of us do. I mean, you know, I have PTSD. I have past traumas. I have dyslexia, dyscalculia. So, you know, I'm not... like, I don't care, you know, I love her, and I care about her, and, you know, I know she hurt me, and I know she did, you know, she doesn't want to own her feelings, or whatever the case may be, you know, when she feels it's better just to be this way, and sabotage a good situation, or whatever, because she can't handle it, whatever the case may be, or whatever. But she says, oh yeah, she is very, like, she flies off the handle, very quickly on people, you know, like, you know, she's very moody, and, like, she doesn't want, you're lucky, because she doesn't want, like, a relationship with someone. She wants a relationship, but she's not somebody who wants to get married. You know, she doesn't want children. She doesn't like children. And I said, well, she's like the godmother to her friend's kid, and she seems to be so sweet and loving to that kid. She goes, yeah, but I can tell you right now, she doesn't like kids. She doesn't want kids. She doesn't like kids. She likes her space. She likes to be in a relationship, but not really be, you know, like, living together and up each other's ass or whatever, like, because she likes her alone time and whatever. And I said, wow, she sounds like me. Because I used to love kids, but kids get on my nerves. But somehow, for whatever reason, I'm still a magnet for kids because I'm a kid. And, but at the end of the day, same thing with relationships. Like, that's my biggest thing is, like, I am somebody who's, a committed person, but I'm not gonna lie, the thought of being married to somebody, as much as it's a dream for me, it's also I look at it as a nightmare too, because of the fact that I am somebody that likes my space and my alone time and my do my thing time. You know what I mean? So, and like I've said before, you know, I'm all about freedom and I'm all about, you know, I want that freedom. So I can't deny somebody else that freedom if I want it. You know, I can't be like, yeah, I want to be alone now or whatever, and not, you know, like not hurt the other person's feelings because there's somebody who doesn't, you know. And obviously we all go through that phase where we want to be up each other's ass at first or whatever, because we're getting to know each other. We have strong feelings and passion for each other. But when things start to settle, obviously it becomes more, you know, and like I said, you got to keep your individuality, you know. In a way, she is like, she's like a lot of like, when I heard that, I was like, oh my God, she's a lot like me. Because as much as I love my neighbor's kids, I'm like, all right, you brats, go to fuck home. You know, because I don't have the patience. Look, as far as I'm concerned, I helped raise kids. They became beautiful adults and human beings, and I'm so proud of them, and I'm proud of myself for being a part of helping create them as, you know, as a human being, you know, and implementing and teaching them everything that I think is right in this world, or about me that I wanted to push out into this world, you know. So and I think that they have a lot of qualities in them that I wanted them to have in them, you know, for the good of the world, you know, and themselves and stuff. So, yeah. But yeah, I have no patience for kids. I can tell you that. I mean, I can deal with people and kids, and I can deal with people in small increments, and I can deal with kids in even smaller increments, you know, unless they're good kids. Like, I can tell you, Kelly and Trent's kids are awesome. Like, I wish all kids were like their kids, you know, and unfortunately it's not, because it does, because of the parents and everything else, you know. I got a lot of clarity yesterday. I guess maybe that's why I feel I can talk today, because I really, like I said, you know, I'll clam up and just, go through whatever I have to go through, to get to the other side of it, you know. I'm constantly healing, constantly learning about things that maybe I suppressed or whatever. And this was a big thing. As much as it was a small thing for other people, it's a big thing for me, you know, because I think it is the core of a lot of issues that I have, you know. Did I get trauma later on in life with other things? Yes, but I think, you know, it's the core of, why I am the way I am, and the lone wolf and everything, you know. So, and it's also going to be an issue with, if I don't, you know, sort it out within me, you know, it's going to come up again, you know, and it may come up again even if I do sort it out a little, you know what I mean? So, and you never know. At least I'll understand it more when it does, you know, and that's the whole point of it. But yeah, so, I feel better knowing that, you know, some things about the bartender that I didn't know, and some views about the situation that I didn't know, and that I'm not the only one, even though Kelly says she doesn't love you. The fact of the matter is, a lot of people go through life loving people and not owning it, not showing it, and deflecting and gaslighting and denying it. And I really believe, and other people believe too, that she is doing that, you know, and that's on her. There's nothing I can do about it. All I can say is how I feel, And do I miss her? Absolutely. Do I miss the what transpired between us and everything? Yeah, I do. You know, I miss being around her and her energy. And, you know, I know that she misses me. I know that she misses what we had. I know that she loves me. And I know that she cares about me, even if she wants to live her life in denial. I know that. I know that, you know. And did she fuck up? Yeah. Did I fuck up? Yeah. You know, we're not perfect. And does she have maybe mental health issues or whatever disability? I have disabilities and, you know, PTSD, mental health issues. So emotional issues, past traumas, you know, like I said, we don't know each other's journeys. We don't know, you know, how we feel and think, whatever. And even if we do, we sometimes suppress it, reject it, you know, deny it, you know, whatever we feel we need to do to stay in our comfort zone. And it's scary to go out of our comfort zone. It's scary to have to, you know, deal with past traumas that you've suppressed. Look, my friend that was molested with the Jehovah Witnesses situation that I helped her win a major, you know, lawsuit against Jehovah Witnesses. She had, and I recognized it immediately. And I remember getting a phone call from her, crying her eyes out, hardly being able to speak, and it was because this Jehovah Witness that was friends with her parents who were Jehovah Witnesses still, even after all she went through with being molested and everything, she was freaking out on the phone. And what happened is some woman that was a Jehovah Witness, who I think she murdered her husband and her son in, I think it was Yellowstone National Park. That's another story, that they were both fell off this bridge when they were taking pictures, and the camera was still left up on the bridge. And she first said she wasn't there, and she was at the hotel, and then she said she was there, but she was sitting in a car, and then she said she was there and was taking a picture of them. And he had asked for a divorce from her, and she's definitely somebody who is crackhead crazy, period. And I think she pushed him off the bridge, you know, and they never could figure out whether it was true or not, so they couldn't charge her. And I truly believe that, you know, she did, you know, because there's, after seeing the bridge, there's no reason for them to be killed, you know what I mean, for them to be dead, because it was a high railing that they were leaning against. And how do you fall off the bridge? It just don't, you know. So anyway, and that's the vibe I got when I met her or whatever. And my friend too, you know, anybody who met her thought and didn't know the backstory just thought she was like crazy, you know what I mean? So and I met her and also got that vibe before I even got the any kind of story about her. And by the way, her husband was best friends with, what do you call it, the Microsoft guy, Gates or whatever. So he was a tech dude and made a lot of money. They were, you know, they made a lot of money, you know. So, you know, I think that was in it for her too, you know. But anyhow, that woman was staying there, you know, on the property, but for whatever reason, the step for her, my friend's stepfather gave this woman a key to her place that she was staying at, and my friend was getting changed in the dark or whatever, getting dressed, and I had just dropped her off. Actually, we had spent the day together, and I had dropped her off, and I was coming home to chill because she liked to chill and be alone too, you know. And the woman walked in on her, like used the key and came in, had no reason to go in that place at all. I don't know why she got the key, or she found, you know, she knew where the key was hidden or whatever the case may be, but she walked in on her and it freaked her out. And it, and when she called me, I was like, I recognized it as like a PTSD episode. And I said, "You're having a, like a PTSD flashback and everything." And she just started crying about, and then, you know, talking about stuff, about her uncle and the Jehovah Witnesses, and, you know, that, you know, things are coming back to her. I said, "You know, I'm coming right now." She goes, "Please, I need you here. I need you here. I don't know what's going on with me." I said, "You're having a PTSD flashback episode. I'll be right there." So I hurry up and, went to her house, and she was like, unconsolable. Like, things just started coming out about things that happened to her when she was a kid. And, you know, I ended up staying there for, you know, wee hours of the morning, you know, just to be with her and just, you know, help her through it. And, so I called my lawyer the next day and I said, "Look, I let him know what happened." I said, "Dude, she had a major PTSD. I know, because I've had them, and I can tell you that she was molested by the Jehovah Witnesses, you know, and, you know, this whole thing. And I don't know. I'll talk to her about if she wants to sue, if that would help her, you know, with the situation or whatever." And, you know, I talked to her and everything, and at first she was hesitant, you know, because she didn't want to go through those hurtful things, but they were coming up. Like, literally, I was taking a drive with her, because that was our thing too. We would, you know, take a drive down to Corson Inlet and Strathmere and stuff like that, and just talk, you know. And so I was taking her for a ride pretty much every day down to Cape May or Corson Inlet and stuff, just to talk and chill. And, you know, she would, you know, smoke, you know, some weed and stuff like that. I wouldn't, because when I'm driving, I don't, you know, especially when I'm in, when I'm the in charge, I don't like to drink and drive, or, you know, smoke weed and drive or anything like that. But, you know, and then we just go down to the beach, take a walk on the beach or whatever the case may be, and just talk, you know. But, yeah, I finally, you know, convinced her that it might be the best thing for her to do, because she's going to go through it anyway, and she has to go through it anyway in order to help her heal and maybe see a psychiatrist or whatever to help her and get through it, you know, and then also, you know, to get the justice that she deserves for them. As a kid, you know, she went to them. Her and her parents went to them, and they were shushed. You know what I mean? They were told not to tell anybody. You know, the uncle, you know, was like, "Oh, yeah, well, you know, I did. He did admit to this stuff." And they make the Jehovah Witnesses make them write a letter of apology and all that. But they get the key. The molester gets to stay, And get maybe transferred somewhere else where he can molest more children, and nobody knows about it because nobody's allowed to talk about it. So, but yeah, he admitted to molesting her. She thought as far back as 5 years old is what she could remember. And he said, "No, I was actually molesting her since she was an infant, and her cousin too. And my son, you know." So he admitted to all these things, and he was still allowed to stay in the congregation, and then, you know, and molest other people. You know what I mean? Like, it's unreal. Oh, yeah, you can apologize, but shush the other people that were the children that were violated, and then, you know, ban them if they did talk about it. Like, "You're the bad guy. We're going to shun you, you know, if you do say something. You'll never be able to be a Jehovah Witnesses again." And the Jehovah Witnesses do isolate their people from, you know, people from the outside and congregation. They do. They may go door to door and stuff like that, but we're still, you know, not considered, I forget what they call it. But anyway, they're, you know, you're anything you say or do, the government too, they don't like the government. They don't like this, that, and the other. When we were Jehovah, and this is when we were kids, we weren't allowed to watch TV. We weren't allowed to listen to music. We weren't allowed to celebrate birthdays or holidays. You know, I had to wear a fucking dress. That's one of the reasons why I hate dresses. Like I said, my neighbor lifted my dress on the school bus, so I beat him up with my umbrella, and I got thrown off the bus. So, yeah, I was pretty rebellious back then. But, yeah, so, yeah, you know, at the end of the day, she won $875,000, from the lawsuit, I found out. You know, but, you know, you're gonna go through that shit, man. You know, people all have issues that we don't talk about, you know. And some people, like, you know, when this girl was telling me about how she can fly off the handle, the bartender, about, and she thought, you know, when she thinks somebody's talking about her about something in a negative context or whatever, she loses her fucking mind about it or whatever, and she's moody or this, that, and the other thing. Now I get her. Now I get why, you know. Like, look, I have my boundaries too. And, you know, was there times when she thought she was being talked about a certain way or whatever, you know? Hey, look, I've made mistakes where I thought, like with this situation, I got triggered because I thought discussions were happening behind my back that, you know, like plots and plans about our, what we're going to do. And it triggered me from past, you know, my childhood. You know, it had nothing to do with them at all. It just had to do with my childhood and my suppressed feelings or whatever. So, you know, look, I'm absolutely somebody that took her for who she was and is. All the flaws and imperfections and everything else. As I want people to take me for that too, you know. And love me for that too, you know. So, you know, and I feel, you know, I don't have to feel sorry for the bartender, but I do because I'm in the same position she's in, you know. I think at the end of the day, we both sabotaged a beautiful situation between us. I think she misses me and I miss her. And I'm glad that I got clarity that, you know, people did see what was transpiring between us, and it's not something that I made up in my head and or delusionship or whatever the case may be. You know, can we save the situation? Can we? It's not going to go back to the way it was, but I think it can actually go back to something better, because there's always something better in understanding each other and clarifying your feelings with each other and stuff. People can rebuild friendships and relationships with that. What they can't do is when you're in denial and, you know, you want to stay in that angry negative zone and not see what you did wrong and what they did wrong, and how do we meet in the middle, and how do we apologize, and how do we figure things out, because we still care about each other and love each other and miss each other and want to be in each other's lives. How do we do that? And it's always that trying to take that bold step. Look, I think we're at a Mexican standoff where I feel she should approach me and apologize, and she probably feels I should approach her and apologize, and we're not going to get anywhere, you know. But I feel divine timing will figure that out. So, I am in Vineland today. I think I'm working 10 to 6:30. Yeah. Or something like that. You know. Yeah, this investigation is not going anywhere in you know, because I can't, the camera footage is just horrible. I can't get, you know, solid enough evidence with this investigation, and I gotta talk to my boss about getting a better camera view or whatever, you know. Look, I gotta tell you something. So I'm not weighing myself, but I am losing weight, and I'm losing inches more than probably weight. So I had to buy a belt because I'm like, my pants are falling down. I'm tired of picking up my pants. Like, literally, you know, I don't want to be one of those people walking around with my crack of my ass hanging out. You know, like people purposely do, where they walk around with their fucking underwear hanging out or a crack of their ass hanging out or whatever. Which, by the way, is that when you do that, that's in prison. They do that when, you know, they're fucking trying to pick each other up for getting fucked up the ass. So, you know, people really should know about that because they think it's cool, but it ain't. It ain't. It's like, you know, as far as I'm concerned, anybody I see with their underwear hanging out and a crack of their ass, I'm going to stick a broomstick up their ass because they're looking for it. No, just kidding. But, you know, so I was like, what? I hate belts, though. I used to, it's so funny, because when I was skinny, and I was, you know, like, I had my horse and all that, and, you know, spending summers at my uncle's farm, you know. You know, I had the cowboy hat and the cowboy, the whole getup, you know what I mean? And my, like, big cowboy buckle belt and the whole thing and my dingo boots and, you know, cowboy boots and all that kind of stuff. But, when you've gained weight, and you wear a belt, your belly kind of hangs over the belt and it kind of hurts. Especially if you got a big cowboy buckle. But, and I stopped wearing belts, obviously, long time ago. I just stopped, you know, I just don't like belts, like, you know, anymore, you know. But I had to get a belt, and I'm like, I don't like belts. Like, what the fuck? I want something different that is a belt, but not a belt, or whatever. So I went to Ross for Less. And I was like, I can't stand it anymore. I got to fucking, like, all my pants are dropping down, and I'm not going to go out and spend. I have clothes still from when I was skinny or, you know, skinnier and stuff, and I still have them. And now I'm like, I was going to go through my clothes and clean them out, but now I'm like, I better hold on to them because my pants are fucking dropping down, but I don't want to run out and just buy clothes for every, you know, inch or two that I lose or whatever, because, you know, that's stupid. I'm pissing money out the window. And I do have clothes that I want to fit back into. So, and I have been trying to watch what I eat. Plus, I am going through something and I'm not really that hungry between missing the bartender and loving her and then this shit kind of coming up, you know, unexpectedly. You know, dealing with that and stuff and everything. Emotionally, I'm just not, like, I'm not, you know, I'm kind of trying to focus on myself a little more than anybody else, you know, and focus on, you know, my feelings and sorting them out and all that kind of stuff. But also trying to, like I said, I want to lose weight, so I am trying to eat a little better and stuff, and I don't want to go out and spend money on clothes, and then I either regain the weight back, or I drop even more, and they're only useful for a month or two, and then I gotta, so I went out, and I went to Ross for Less, and I found these belts, and I have to look up on Amazon, because I want another one. They're called Matrix. And they snap together, but they're like a rubber band. They're actually real thin, which I love. So you don't even know you're wearing a belt. It doesn't look like you can't see the belt underneath your shirt or whatever. Maybe the buckle part, but it's a plastic snap buckle. So it's not some big buckle or anything. and it's one size fits all. So it adjusts to any weight, you know, you are, whatever waist size you are, it adjusts. It's like a big rubber band. And I fucking absolutely love, I'm sorry, it was only like $9 a piece. And it's the best because now I have to wear a belt every day because my pelt, my pants are falling down, literally. When I'm walking, I feel like a dump ass bucket is coming. You know, I'm like, what the? And I keep fucking pulling my pants up. I'm like, this is ridiculous, man. So I absolutely love it. So, and whatever weight I adjust to, it adjusts to your waist size. So, it's called Matrix. And I highly recommend it if you're somebody who doesn't like belts, but, you know, has to wear a belt or whatever for certain situations or whatever. So I'm looking forward to this weekend. This is our weekend, out that I had the, my, you know, past trauma episode over. So, and I'm still going through. And you know what? I want to keep, I clearly want to be a little more private. I want to go back to how I was before as far as being, private about, what exactly the things that are going on in my life and stuff like that. And, you know, I don't want to be secretive because there is a difference between that and being private, you know. But I am, you know, like telling you guys tidbits, but I'm not telling you everything. Like if I'm going out on dates or whatever, nobody's going to know. You know, I'm just not, there's certain people that I'm talking to that, you know, like it's just not, I'm just not going to go there really. I think I went there with the bartender. Look what happened. Nothing actually. I have absolutely no regrets. And that was something that this chick asked me yesterday about. You know, do you regret investing in her like you did? Your feelings, your money, your time, your effort, your gifts, your food, whatever. And I said, absolutely not. When you really love somebody, like I said, when you really love somebody, you know, you're going to do all those things. And I don't regret it at all. Not one bit. I think she was worth every action, even if she was breadcrumbing me or being fake or even sabotaging the situation or even denying and gaslighting me and lying about things or whatever. I mean, it's all on her. What comes from me is on me. And actually, I was coming from a genuine place always, you know. So, not at all. Yeah, and you know, it takes, when you really love people and care about people, you can forgive them, you know, and you want to forgive them because you want to, you know, first of all, because you truly love them. But when you want to still have people in your life because you feel that they brought something rare and beautiful to your life, you want to hold on to that, you know. So, like I said, expectations kill everything, kill relationships, kill friendships, whatever. Because we expect people to be like us. We expect people to understand us. You know, and we're all different human beings, and it takes a long time to learn that, to learn that expectations really do kill things, you know. And also, you know, like not dealing and healing with whatever's in us that needs to be healed so that we don't bleed all over people that didn't cut us. And I think that the bartender is bleeding all over me and I didn't cut her, you know, and that she has issues that she has to deal with, unfortunately. And she may never deal with them, but I hope she does, because I think she's going to have a, I think her viewpoint and life will change. I think that if she is moody, that will change, you know. I think that, you know, there's a lot of things that she needs to take care of for herself, and as I do for myself, you know. But I do believe that things happen for a reason, and I needed these two people to show up in my life at this time to basically give me a little bit more clarity on things, you know, that I'm struggling with, you know, because when you're not communicating with people, we're leaving ourselves to assuming what the other person thinks and feels, or, you know, when, especially when people are angry with each other or hurt by each other, we assume the worst about people, you know, and we're trying to figure out how can we hate them? How can I lose the feeling of love for them and really just fucking hate the fucking shit out of them? So this way it'll make it easier for me to move on. When, in essence, we should just let go with love, and send that love out into the universe, and that grace. And it takes bravery and courage to dive deep into yourself to figure things out, and even more bravery and courage when you do figure things out to say, I was wrong. I should hold myself accountable. Not only to myself, but to the other person, and apologize, or whatever the case may be, to right this wrong, or whatever the case may be, you know. And that takes even more bravery and courage. And some people are like, what do I say? How do I initiate this conversation? What if they reject me? What if I'm feeling this way and they're feeling the opposite, that they don't want to mend this situation? They don't ever want to see me again. They don't, you know, they hate my guts. And what if they say, fuck you, get the fuck away from me, I don't want to talk to you, or whatever. Because you're always going through that too, like, you know, it's hard because you're assuming the worst, and the only thing you can do is just throw yourself out there and take that risk. Because the worst thing is to say, what if, and you can do what ifs all day long. You're not going to know until you take that step, kind of a thing, you know. And when people care about each other, they'll figure a way, you know, to mend situations. Believe me, I had, like I said, my friends, we've mended horrible situations, actually, between us. but we did, you know, so, yeah, I needed that. I just needed that. I guess maybe that helped me crack open my shell a little bit, you know, to do this podcast. And I hope she's doing well. I do, you know, and I really am looking forward to this weekend because I need it. Like, I'm really, like, I've been working straight since I had one day off, and that was Saturday. You know, but I ended up working Sunday for Easter in Hamilton, and it was crackhead crazy. I have been able to, there's a lot of people that have been stealing there, and, you know, they're told not to come back. One of them came back today, and I said, look, I tracked her down in the store, and I said, look, you were banned from here. And she's, oh, I just want to pick up some milk and cereal. I said, okay, I'm going to tell you this. Go ahead, do that. But now I said, you're banned from here. Remember what I said. I have you stealing a cart of food that's worth $263 fucking dollars, okay? I could have had the cops pick you up, file charges against you, and I still can. I can still file a complaint against you. So, you know, when I say you're not allowed here, because I don't want to be busting my ass trying to keep up with you stealing again. You know, so, you know, just don't come here anymore. All right. She says, I will. I appreciate you let me at least get this stuff. I said, okay. Yeah. So I just made sure she walked out and didn't try and take anything else or whatever. And, you know, but I had another guy I had to, he saw me. I could feel he felt my vibe. And he just stood there in the aisle and he had his bag loaded up with shit. And he's known to walk in, load up his bag or a cart and walk out. And I was like, I've had enough of this guy. So I got on the floor and I just stood like maybe 10 feet away from him and just, you know, stood there pretending like I was shopping, but also looking at him. And I wanted him to see me, you know, so, and then I walked by him, I looked down in his bag, and he just stood there, he was frozen, like, it was so funny, he was, like, scared to death, I think, and he turned around, and he looked at me, and then the next thing I know is, I said, okay, now I know he knows my presence, whatever, let me see what he does, so I, you know, backed off from him a little bit, and I see him putting the big rump roast away and the seafood back. And then he ends up grabbing like a couple things of lunch meat and going up to courtesy. And then he feigns like this, he doesn't feel good or whatever. And then he says that he's waiting for his wife and she's shopping in the store. So I'm like, really? The wife that you were at Seafood with? And he goes, yeah, that one. He wasn't at Seafood with his wife. I just lied because I knew he was lying. So he knew that I was on to him and he was scared. So I said, look, I'm going to tell you something. You know, I have you on video several times stealing. I'm glad you put everything back. I don't know why you're not buying this lunch meat right now and you're feigning illness, but my thing is that I'm pretty sure you're scared to death that I'm going to file charges against you. So, and I will if you come back to the store again. So he goes, oh my, thank you so much for telling me that. And he goes, I appreciate you being straight up with me. I said, no problem. I said, so, do you still want to wait for your wife in the store? And he goes, yeah. And I said, okay, can I tell you that your wife isn't in the store? And you didn't walk in with your wife? I know that already. So, you know, do you want to walk out to your car? And he goes, yeah, I think I should. I said, I'll walk out with you. So I walked him to his vehicle. I said, do me a favor. Press the remote because I want to make sure this is your car. So he did, and it did. He goes, look, I'm being straight up with you because you're being straight up with me and you're being nice enough not to, you know, charge me with anything or whatever. He goes, believe me. He goes, my wife doesn't like shopping with me because I do steal and she doesn't want to be around me when I steal. So, and she's gotten so upset when times I've come home with nice, you know, like the roast that I was trying to steal. For dinner. And she knew it wasn't paid for. So I said, all right, look, I said, you know, find yourself somewhere else to shop because I don't want you to, you know, give me too much work here. Okay. So, he goes, no, I respect that. I appreciate you being straight up and, you know, you're not being loud or anything like that and just talking to me softly in front of the courtesy desk like that. So, and, you know, I will leave quietly now and never come back. So I said, all right, man, take care of yourself, dude, you know. So, yeah, so, you know, at the end of the day, it is, this woman I wasn't loud with. I mean, I did, like, was stern with her and everything like that, you know. You know, but there are still people that are coming in that I know, and I just have to be there, and then, you know, catch them and then call them out on her shit and tell them not to come in. And everybody that I have told not to come back really hasn't come back. They really have been respectful to the fact that I was being respectful to them. And they in turn have been respectful to my wishes, and I appreciate that, you know. We had the guy that jerked off at the lotto machine come in in Vineland, and you know, what balls does he have? Like, literally, dude, you have some balls. So I was in Hamilton, I called him. I said, look, such and such is in the store. He's banned from the store. He whacked his meat off at the lotto machine, and he thinks he was pissed off because everybody called him out on it and barred him from the store and fired him. And here he is back in the store. Now, the last time I called, you guys couldn't catch up to him or whatever. This time he just came in. Tell the manager I want to talk to him. I talked to the manager and described him and everything. So they tracked him down. He refused to leave. So they got the cops to come. And the cops told him, you know, you are not allowed here anymore. And if you come back, we're going to arrest you for criminal trespass. You know, because after they, you know, the cops found out that he whacked his meat off in front of everybody in the store. He was like, oh, fuck, for real? And he's back here, you know, like, so yeah, so hopefully he'll never be back there. And I got to run into Frankie and his wife and everything. And, you know, I think Frankie's okay with people knowing that they have a little baby girl, and they've had a little baby girl, but they kept it secret for a long time, and then I kept it secret for a long time, but yes, they do, and she's beautiful, and I'm so happy for him and her, and, you know, I can pretty much, I'm not going to say, you know, too much detail, but yeah. They have a beautiful baby girl, had for a while, a beautiful baby girl, and I can finally say, I think I'm safe to say that, you know, I'm so happy for them, I'm proud of them as parents, and everything, and I'm proud of them for keeping it a secret, for them to agree to keep it to themselves, and, you know, like, keep it, sacred between themselves until they were ready to let other people know and stuff like that, you know. That's awesome. I wish I had that kind of restraint, which apparently I did, because I didn't say anything. But look, if somebody says respect my wishes, I respect their wishes. You know, the bartender said respect my wishes about giving her space. I knew what she was doing. She was sabotaging the situation because she couldn't deal with it. I get it. But at the same time, you know, whatever. I want to respect people for whatever it is they want for themselves, you know. And you know, I respected my little Frankie for what they wanted to keep sacred for themselves, you know. And it doesn't matter why people want what they want. You just got to give it to them, because that's for them to figure out, you know. And unfortunately, it's for us to figure out too. Oh my god. Yeah. I have some funny stories to tell, but I don't have I'm tired. I'm not in the mood for joking around right now. But I'm still going through my shit. So if I not put a podcast out, that's why, you know, like, between what popped up on me and then the bartender situation, it's not going to, when you love somebody and care about them deeply, you don't get over them. I'm sorry. You don't. You probably don't ever get over them. You just get through it. You know what I mean? So I'm just trying to get through it. She did come into the store the other day. I wasn't there yet, you know. She all looked disheveled, like she would She had a rough night. Probably with somebody. But, yeah. you know, the one manager goes, you know, she should just fucking own her shit. She fucking loves you. She cares about you. She misses you. You guys had something special, and she just doesn't want to deal with it. And I said, it doesn't matter now. Like, you know, whatever happened, and it is what it is. And, you know, I'm just going to, you know, live my life like I did before I met her. You know what I mean? And that's all you can do. You know, go through it. Get on the other side of it. Whatever happens, happens. If she does want to come back into my life, want to work things out, give me clarity or whatever, I'm open for that. But, you know, I already tried to say hi to her, and I felt so much anger from her that if it was gasoline, I'd light a match and shit would blow up. So I'm not going to fucking go there, you know. But, he is, I think he's mad at me because I had to call him and tell him something about what he shouldn't do in my office because I noticed it on video. So, he got a little pushback, but when I talk to him today, if he's in, I'm going to clarify what I meant because I work for the corporation and for my boss. And that's who tells me what to do and what shouldn't happen, whatever. And, you know, he's like, oh, I'm going to talk to a store manager. I'm like, oh, well, I'm like, go ahead, because I don't work for her. She don't make my rules. She don't say what goes on in our department. She don't run me or that department. I have to answer to people who run in my department and what happens in that office and what people can see and not see as far as cameras go and stuff like that. That's my office. I'm in charge of it because anything that happens falls back on me, when they view video and see the same thing that I saw. So at the end of the day, you know, I'm just letting you know this is the situation. So, and I clarified that with another manager because I stopped on my way home from Hamilton, to see somebody. And I also talked to her. And let her know about the situation that I'll have to clarify today. But, at the end of the day, a lot of situations in life is just clarifying them to each other, really. And, you know, it resolves everything, pretty quickly, you know, communication and clarification and just throwing what you think and feel out there, or you know, look, if people misunderstand you, then that's why I want to clarify it today, because I don't want, he came off totally misunderstanding me, like I was attacking him on a personal level, and it wasn't that, it was, this is my responsibility, just like if his responsibility is to tell a worker, you can't do that anymore, or whatever, that's, you know, it's not a personal thing. This is a work thing, and that's it, you know. So we'll see what happens, but, yeah. I am going through some shit right now. I am, no lie. And, you know, it's a good thing, you know, but it is also a process. And so if I'm not on the podcast that much, it's because I you know, don't want to be on it, basically, because I just want to kind of be to myself, you know what I mean? So anyway, but I am looking forward to being with my friends this weekend and hanging out and just chilling and, you know, and having a bunch of laughs and stuff like that and you know, being with my tribe, you know? So anyway, I'll talk to you guys later. You have a good one, man.